Praise the Lord. This is Brother Dave with Brother Daniel Woods. He's going to be preaching a sermon at the Wesleyan Pentecostal Church in Washington, North Carolina. Very good holiness church. I'm sure you'll enjoy it. God bless you. It's my prayer.
Take your Bibles and go with us this morning to 1 Timothy, again in chapter 2. It was my intention to move forward and go to chapter 3 this morning. It's my next message, but I've been thinking about this, and I believe it is such a important subject and timely that I felt like I needed to go back and emphasize some things. I preached Wednesday night, and I'm going back and revisit those ideas this morning with some other things that I felt led to share. Just been talking and thinking and processing some of these things and watching what's happening in the church world and watching what's going on in our world, in Christianity and in our nation. Well, quite frankly, it's not a pretty picture. And I want to be right. I don't know about you, but I want to be right. Holy Ghost comes to make us right, doesn't he? Comes to lead us and guide us. And so I don't proclaim I've studied this again and again that I have it down, but I know one thing, I'm sure aiming for it. I want to do what's right. Amen. And I have prayed for God to give me and help me to deal with issues that we face from this book, because God's Word is not outdated. It hasn't lost its relevance in this culture. It's still a faithful guide.
Amen.
And it's still light in a dark place. Amen. So we're going to read two verses here. Three verses. 1 Timothy 2, 9, 10. Or 8, 9, and 10. And we're going to read those. And I'm going to go back and deal with these things again. And I want to reinforce some things. I want to give some whys. Why are we doing this? Why are we going this route? Why are we preaching these things? And leave you to judge and to study. And to make certain these things are what God says to us. He said, I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands, without wrath and doubting. In like manner also the women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but take out the phrase in parentheses for a moment. But with good works. Now we can read it with the did there. But which becometh women professing godliness with good works. Amen. So he tells you what not to do it with and what to do it with. Amen. Would you say amen to God's word?
Amen.
You may be seated. Really need the help of the Lord this morning to be able to share these things in a manner that is informative and is truthful, righteous, that stresses the importance of it. Sometimes we holiness folks think, well, I know all there is to know that. I got that down. Well, I really doubt that. I've been studying and looking at this. I don't know that I got it down. I'm still see things that we can grow in, and I'm praying God to ask, help me to do this thing. And quite frankly, I will tell you that these passages are not being preached. And they are surely not being practiced. In the church world as a whole, this message is a foreign message. Because for the most part, if you take the Christian world and the world in and of itself, place them side by side, you'll find very little difference. They go to the same places, they do the same things, they talk the same way, they act the same way, they raise their children the same way, their marriages end up the same way. Only difference is that some go to church on Sunday morning and some don't. They dress the same way, they look the same, and they typically have the same perspectives. And somewhere there's a message that needs to go out that needs to say, hey, we've got to get this thing fixed. We got to do it right. And we got to know why we're doing it and what we're doing. And so I want to go through this again. And there's some things I want to emphasize to you here this morning. And ask the Lord's help that He may be gracious and be with us here today. Number one, to the men, I want to say again, He talks about these men that they are to be men of prayer, men of purity, men of power, men of principle. They are to be men of prayer. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, that the men pray everywhere. We know what that is, but again, there's a focus here. There's a focus on the inward life. Let me ask the men of this church, how good a condition is your prayer life in right now? How much do you focus on it? How much do you care about it? Can I tell you, it's important to have praying men in a church. It's important in your home, if you're going to lead it successfully, that you're a man of prayer. If you're going to be a successful pastor, you've got to be a man of prayer. If you're going to be a successful worker on your job, you've got to be a man of prayer. If you're going to conquer temptation in this world, you've got to be a man of prayer. If you're going to be a leader in the church, you've got to be a man of prayer. If you're going to vote right at the ballot box, you've got to be a man of prayer. If you are going to be all the other things that come out of this and that He wants here and mentions about men, it begins with being a man who can freely approach the throne of God without condemnation. He can approach the throne of God in faith. He can approach the throne of God in communion. He can approach the throne of God in peace. He can approach the throne of God and he knows God's will. He wants to do God's will and he's involved in God's work. That you're not just there to bring petitions. You're there to be a vessel. And that you're there to be a willing hand, an extension of God's hand in providing the answer to the prayer that you're asking. Don't pray for anything that you're not willing to be used to be a part of the answer. If you're not willing to be part of the answer, don't pray it. It's like praying, God, you go ahead and you do that stuff. But no, you be ready. Say, God, you do what you want to do and I'm here. I'm here, Lord. I'll do whatever you want. But a man of prayer, a man of purity, a holy hands, he says. And you can't have holy hands without a holy heart. Thinking this morning, we talk about the work that God does is in the heart. The work that God does is on the inside. And that's what makes us what we are on the outside. Let me say that and put that on the other frame of mind. That is all true. That is exactly right. But let me tell you something. The work the devil does is in the heart. Sin starts in the heart before it reaches the hand. Righteousness starts in the heart before it reaches the hand. Everything that man is, he is because of what's in his heart. And so the devil works there. He wants to get there. The unclean spirit looks for a throne as much as the Holy Ghost is ready to come and make a throne. And somewhere what you have to do is yield the floor. You can either yield it to the Spirit of God or you can yield it to the spirit of the world. You can yield it up to the Lordship of Christ or yield it up to the Lordship of man. But everyone's aiming for the heart. Hollywood wants your heart. The government wants your heart. Sports gods want your heart. All the merchandisers and the fashion moguls of the world, they want your heart. They're after your devotion. And that's where it's at. But our heart has to be given to God. Holy hearts and holy hands. Amen. And then he talked about that men without anger. This is men of power. Men of power. Oh, how are we doing there, fellas? Let me drive that home just a little bit. If we're going to be men free from anger, because anger becomes one of the keynote things that becomes a mark of being able to be a man of discipline, to be a man that is self-controlled. The Bible talks about that a man soon angry, talks about how that man can be easily taken. But a man who can control his passions, Proverbs talks about it, a man that can control his anger, a man that can control his passion, he's like a strong city. A man that's weak, a man that cannot control his temper, is a man that's vulnerable, a man that's vulnerable to attack. And that's what we're in the context here. We're talking about this directive of being on a battlefield. And guess what? We can't win the battle out there if we can't win the battle in here. We can't fight out there if we're still fighting our passions. Amen. We can't gain ground on the devil out there if he's winning ground in here. And that life of being able to control your anger, how many of you men work on it? How many of you men know it? How many of you men have conquered it? How many of you men know that I have got my temper under control? Because if you don't, you're volatile. If you don't, you're vulnerable. If you don't, the devil's got a place that he can come to this church. And somewhere in your anger, he can shame us. Somewhere in your anger, you will say something that will mar the reputation of this church, the reputation of Jesus Christ, and will make a stain. In your anger, the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. In your anger and wrath, you're not going to do the thing that's right. Whenever there is a spirit out of control, there'll be a lip out of control. Where there's a spirit out of control, there'll be a hand out of control. We've got to be men of discipline. That's our issue in this world. Men of discipline could shut down a lot of fornication. Men of discipline could shut down obesity. Men of discipline could shut down pornography. Men of discipline could shut down the anger and the wrath that's taking place. Oh, you say it's not a problem. It's a problem everywhere. Road rage. Never heard of that when I was growing up. But we got everywhere. People are tipped off at the drop of a hat. One little thing goes wrong in Walmart and they're blown their top and this and that. Are you able to keep your cool when everything's crashing down, or do you lose it? Well, maybe you've not been a man whose passion has been great enough. But do our lives speak of lives of discipline? Do our lives speak of lives that we have every aspect under control? Under the control and the guidance and the leadership of the Holy Spirit? It's not important. Yes, it is. If it's not disciplined, the devil can find it. And our weakness will be there no matter where it's at. And I know these are sensitive subjects to us. We folks, we like to fellowship. We like to get together. We're people that love one another. We like to party. We like to have good times. But I'm a preacher who believes in preaching the whole thing. I have to check myself. Hey, Brother Woods, that's enough. You've eaten enough. Hey, have you fasted lately? Come on now. Have you been able to push the plate back? If you can't conquer the plate, you can't conquer the pornography. If you can't conquer the plate, you're not going to conquer other things that are going to come in. We're in a bombardment. We're in an indulgent age. We're in an age of soft living. We're in an age of pleasurable living. And we become a people that look for the soft way of life. And we don't want the hard life. We don't want the disciplined life. We don't want to push it back. And I'm telling you, Paul said, we need men who are able to control their spirit. We need men who are able to go to God in prayer. We need men who know what it is to bow the knees and to seek God Almighty and to be strong and disciplined in their life. Oh, Brother Woods, I've tried and failed. Try again. But this time, don't try it alone. Go to God and say, God, I need your help. God, I need your strength. I need you to build this in me. I want to be the kind of man you talked about in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 8. I want to be that kind of man. I want you, Lord, to sanctify whatever needs you to be sanctified. I want you to purify me. I want you to cleanse me of it. I want you to take out anything, Lord, in me. I'm telling you, there are men. I remember the story of Smith Wigglesworth. He'd gotten saved and had a terrible temper. And he decided that this thing's got to go. And he locked himself away in a closet. And he went in the room and he sought God. And he said, I'm not coming out until I win. I'm not coming out until I know it's dead. And he went in there and he stayed before the throne. And when he came out of that room, God had touched him. And he said he never ever again had a problem with his temper. I'm telling you, there is still the transforming power. This is not a humanistic endeavor. This is not a do your best Christianity. This is know the power of the Holy Ghost and let it rule and reign in your life. A man full of the Spirit and under the government of the Spirit will find his ability to govern every passion that it has. Our passions, be that a passion for women, be that a passion of fire that results in anger, be that a passion for cars, be it a passion for hunting, be it a passion for fishing, everything of that, be it a passion for food, all of those things are okay in the right context. All of those things are all right if they're under control. But when they begin to control us, when they begin to identify us, then something's wrong somewhere. What should identify us is the holiness of God. What we want to identify us is a life of prayer. What we want to identify us is that we are men of discipline and self-control, men of power. Show me a man who has that kind of discipline and that kind of strength, and that's a man of power. That's a man the devil's not going to easily fool. That's a man the devil's not going to easily trap. He's going to have to work hard. But show us if he can look in our life and find out where we're given to passions and we're given to things that trip us up. The enemy has a way to come and get a hold of us. A man of principle. And he said that we would be without doubting. That is, that there are principles established in us. That's how we're going to live. This is the faith of Jesus Christ. And I want you to listen. It's all right if you're quiet this morning. I want to drive this home. I know this might get a little bit tight, and this isn't popular in holiness preaching and in popular in holiness churches, but it's going to be popular here because it's in that holy book. And we've got to be men of principle. We operate because the Bible says something. We operate and do things because it's what the Word of God says. And we're not willing to sit down and share the pew with those who hold the doctrines that are contrary to the true doctrines of Jesus Christ. We're not going to go across the fence, and we're not going to reach out and say, I can fellowship with this church, and I'm a Protestant, and I can fellowship with a Catholic. No, I cannot. I cannot fellowship with a Muslim. I cannot fellowship with a Oneness. Hello now. I cannot fellowship with the Mormons. I can't even fellowship with the Baptist. I'm a full-blooded Pentecostal, and I believe in the power of the Holy Ghost. And when someone thinks that speaking in tongues is of the devil, him and I aren't going to get along too well. You understand something that somewhere has got to get settled in our hearts. This we believe. This we believe. This we believe. And we are willing to stand on it. We are unashamed of it. And whatever the world may say, whatever the church world may say, it matters not. We're men of faith. Our faith is established and settled in Jesus Christ, and we go to God without doubt. Glory to God. Hallelujah. That may just let be what it is. I'm looking at Dan Woods. I'm looking at me. My life changes. My body changes. But somewhere you just have to batten down the hatch a little bit. Sometimes you just got to tighten it up. Sometimes you got to realize you can't be indulgent and expect to live a victorious life. Can't do it. Can't do it.